Man, we're all over the Caribbean today, and the weather is fine. That last track was a fairly classic reggae from Mr. Gregory Isaacs. Set the Captives Free from his album, Vinyl-like. What's it called again? Let's look. Oh, yeah. Mr. Isaacs. That's right. Came out a long time ago on Shaughnessy Records. 1982, but probably before that. Released in Jamaica. Recorded at Channel One Studios. So that's all good. And before Gregory Isaacs was Sugar Minot with Dreader Dub from the Ghettoology Dub CD. Let's see what else. Now, Brother Resistance, this was new to me, from a CD called The Power of Resistance. He does music called Rapso, which I don't know too much about, but I liked that. That was the drum and the bass. But Brother Resistance seems to be from Trinidad, and that's good. Before that, Fidel Nadal, apparently a big international reggae star from Argentina, and that track was called On a Mission. He's got it down. It's from a CD called Cabeza Negra, 2002. A couple of tracks from Aini Kamozi after that, because he just slipped right from one to the next. Babylon, Babylon, and I Wanted Ital. From, that was definitely vinyl too. It's on the floor. I'll go pick it up. Well, I don't know where it is, but you get the drift. And what else? Steel Pulse by request. The Real Terrorist from their 1997 release, Rage and Fury. And I forgot to mention what I played before, Boukman Experience, famous Haitian artiste. I don't even know what the track was, and my Creole, not so good. Almost out of time, yes indeed, 7 p.m. You're listening to WMBR in Cambridge. My name is Linda. I've been filling in for Sferio. They will be back next week with more of the good things that you expect from them. I think I'm going to go out with another track, although it might not make it till the end. A little Mikey Dread going out to all of y'all. Have a good weekend. And stay tuned for Music for Human Beings coming up next.
Give me. welcome to Music for Human. This is Dr. Jalas Sakran welcoming you periodically this evening. And I have with me my companions of the spiritual way, the Yogi John.
Hello, everyone.
And Dua.
Hello, everyone.
So, Yogi John is joining us from the Schwarzwald, the Black Forest. He's a New Age woodcutter.
It's a very tough job.
Well, tell us, how does it feel to be in the New Age and also to be cutting down the tree?
Well, it does cause quite a few problems. So I have to compete not only with the trees, which give quite a bit of resistance to being cut and don't like me at all, quite a bit actually, but not only with them, but I also have to compete with the protesters who like to protest as they do.
The protest is against the trees?
On occasion. It's a bit probabilistic. Every so often they choose to protest against me, and the rest of the times against the trees.
They protest against you. The protesters are industrialists who wish to bask in the forest's existence.
Actually, they just don't like my hair color.
They are against your hair color.
Yes.
Well, I'm actually rather surprised. I find the color of your hair to be unassuming.
That's because you're my companion.
Of course, of course. I gradually began to become used to the strange hue.
And, I mean, you're trained in the ways of the New Age.
Mm-hmm. And Dua. Dua, are you with us?
Yes, I am with you.
Now, you are a practitioner of New Age Mechanica. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, I use Mechanica and other science to cook. I have 11 children, plus another one who is my husband.
So, in fact, you have 12 children.
12 children.
And do you find that, New Age Mechanica help?
Definitely. Mm. I have to use science.
To control
the way I cook food for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, science is control.
Science is power.
Power and control.
Mm. And how is it that the New Age science helps with the cooking and the control of the, for example, the meat?
Well, as listener know that microwave, for example, is a way of revolutionizing the food.
Mm.
So, and then, for example, I feed my family ground beef. And the reason why, because ground beef can take shorter time in cooking than regular meat.
Well, Yogi John and Dua, thank you for joining me this evening. I wanted to discuss with you the possibility that came across to me earlier today in a vision that I had from my friend George, which was that our dreams are portals, viewport into the past and the future.
Can I ask for a clarification, please?
Mm-mm. So I encountered a vision whereby I viewed a unicorn in a meadow I was an elf carrying a long bow and a quiver full of magical arrows. And I struck the unicorn many times with arrows and with the bow until the unicorn fell, bleeding. And I ran to the corpse, lest it should rot, and ate it entirely.
Using the New Age science.
Well, the exact mechanism of the cooking was left unknown. It is part of the character of a vision, but I consumed it entirely, and followed by drinking and scooping fluids with the horn of the unicorn, which served to refresh me and to heal all of my sorrows and wounds.
That's very interesting, Dr. Jalis. In fact, number 9 of my children always dream.
Your 9th child dreamt.
The 9th child always has a dream. And most of his dream become true. And when
they came true directly, like
the morning after, definitely. His dream become true. And one of the problem that I have, the challenging problem with this child, he doesn't study at all. All he needs to do is go to sleep and flip the book, and that's the end.
He dream
about the question of the exam. It's bothering me. I like science. I admire science. But this child went through school with no studying at all. All what he does, he look at the book, flip the book, and that's the end of the story.
Was the dream actually a sequential dream? Or perhaps at one point in his young age, he dreamt that he had all the knowledge in the world?
In fact,
like, was your child number 9 dreaming and learning, or simply dreaming and learning the results of the examination?
In fact,
or dreaming and knowing?
He has a special power in his body, and he can absorb knowledge in a very short time. He flipped the book, he get the knowledge. All he needs is 1 hour in the morning to put the answer to the questions that he saw in the night before. And that's how he finished his schools and he become the Minister of Higher Education.
In
his country.
This is truly unusual. It's true, in fact, I was so anxious at one point in my child upbringing that I had a dream about an exam. But in my dream, I knew none of the answers, and so wake up shivering and shaking and sweating with the sheets like skin against my neck, and forgot everything.
Unfortunately, the unicorn could not come to your saving because it was already dead and eaten.
In another dream, yes. Well, Yogi John, is there any dream you can share with us that perhaps has come true, or that you imagine may come true?
I have this dream that happens roughly once a week where I go into my closet and there's a staircase, and the staircase leads me down to my basement. And in that basement, all sorts of wonders exist. Whatever you could feast your mind on. Knowledge, beauty.
That's amazing.
Happiness. And I've always been looking for this staircase. I wake up the next morning, I look for the staircase. And instead of finding the staircase, I find a very dirty closet. But I keep searching, and someday I hope it'll come true.
I think that tell you that you need to clean your closet always and keep it organized. And
because from a organized closet comes beauty and happiness.
Definitely.
So, Dua, you are suggesting that it is literal, that the dream somehow suggests that Yogi John should literally organize his closet?
In fact, he is thinking about that all the time. Hmm. Because he bring it up. He said that my closet has dirty clothes. So he already thought about it. He gave it a thought. And that's why he dreams about the closet. And he wish that the claws will go into this basement and disappear. And that's, I think, the interpretation of his dream.
Because in my mind, the closet represented his brain.
That's a good way of...
No, literally, because it is full of these treasures, but...
Staircase to nowhere.
Yeah, but, well, no, you know, that you may become distracted by all of the disorder, and if only there was order, it could lead to enlightenment.
To happiness and beauty.
To all of these things. To, in the expression of the Greek, the beautiful and the good.
Please call us. The number is 617-253-8810, and maybe you can help us with the interpretation of these dreams.
Or perhaps we can help you interpreting your dreams.
Definitely. We can exchange knowledge and experience.
Well, it looks like we may have our first call. Let's see. Hello, marhaban. Hello, you are on the air.
What? Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yes, marhaban. So, caller, do you have any dreams that you'd like to share?
Absolutely, Bob. First, let's tell the contestant what they won. You won a brand new car!
Well, this is fascinating.
Amazing.
I, in fact, recently did have a dream where I was on The Price is Right. Are you familiar with the show?
Yes.
In the show, Mr. Bob Barker has a number of games involving the prices of various types of merchandise. He asked me to select the price of a box of graham crackers, which I had earlier in the evening purchased at a local pharmaceutical store. So I knew the price, but by mistake, because I was not entirely familiar with the system on The Price is Right, I, instead of writing down the price, I pushed the button that Mr. Bob Barker, was supposed to push and immediately revealed the price. I cheated on The Price is Right, but the result was that he gave me the car.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Nissan.
With neon colors?
Well, no, it was blue.
I can understand the sounds that we're hearing. A blue car. horrible.
I'm slightly worried for our caller's welfare.
I think he's dying.
We're right back from Saliva City. Now on to you, Jed.
I think our caller is dying. He's choking.
Caller, are you choking?
Fred is dead. That's what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
And Fred, were there any dreams that led you to believe in your own death? Fred is indeed gone.
Goodbye,
well,
Fred.
We have two lines open yet again. And the number is 253-8810. Call us to share your dreams, the dreams of your bedfellows or neighbors or co-workers, or to, you know, to share with us your enlightening experiences with little Weena.
Raising 11 children also give me more experience in looking how dreams change when one of the children, if they are sick, and temperature definitely related to the change of the way the children dream. So if they have fever, definitely they have different type of dreams.
Are there any unusual dreams that your children had? I mean, do you believe that they still are portals to future and past times? That, for example, the fever would cause the portal to rush into the deep future, into unusual mystical lands? Or were they simply hallucinations?
Well, it's mixed of both. Child number three always dream that he's going riding a very, very fast chicken.
A fast chicken? This is indeed unusual, but the chicken, well, it represents the loaf, the means of consumption. What is this child doing now?
This child, right now, he's selling clothes.
Selling clothes in an open-air chicken market.
Yeah.
Well, this is not too surprising.
Yeah, he always dreamed that he's riding chicken, but
he would end in a chicken race.
Yeah.
And would he lose or win the race?
Most of the time he lose the...
He would lose the race. This
is
significant.
Yeah.
So he has perhaps a self-confidence issue.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a good explanation of his dream.
Well, it looks like we have another caller. Let's patch that one. Hello?
Chicken,
yes. Hello,
yes.
Caller.
Chicken.
Well, what can you tell us about chicken?
Kitchen.
Kitchen?
Chicken.
Chicken. Well, it looks like we lost that one to the...
We lost the chicken or the kitchen?
Or both.
Yeah.
The chicken made it to the kitchen.
And then there...
And then was lost.
That was the end of the chicken, of course. The chicken, I believe, is analogous to the Sphinx in Egyptian mythology, representing wisdom. I once had a dream that I was being inquisited by a chicken, a large marble chicken. Kitchen. Chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken. The large chicken was inquisiting me, giving me riddle after riddle in customary Egyptian way, but instead of the Sphinx, it was the chicken. I failed in the end to answer the math questions, and it pecked me into awakening.
It's interesting. Dr. Jalis, what in Hijaz, what they said about dreams and how they interpreted dreams?
Well, my father believed that dreams were messages from the devil, almost certainly. But the particularly holy, the saint-like, could receive dreams from God, for holy dreams that would were visions telling of the future or of the past, much as, you know, along with our discussions. But that the dream could also be passed from one's selfish desires. These could influence the dreams.
But if we return back to my ninth child who dreams about the test always, and he visioned the exams. So where do you put, according to this explanation, where do you put the dream of my child?
These must have been dreams, according to my father, they would have been dreams from God, from some, because the devil would misguide your child, and the child's selfish desires had no knowledge of the future, therefore they were dreams from God. Did your child seem saint-like or particularly pure?
Very pure. But on the other hand, sometimes I feel the unfairness because he dreams and he gets what other people work really hard to get.
Mm. It came to him easily.
It came to him easily.
Mm.
But this child, he is really good. He feel that, and he works really hard toward the other and help other people.
So he would, instead of working on himself, work to help others to compensate for the gift.
That's what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. So have either of you ever had dreams that, told you about, warned you about things, and then the warning did not actually, you ignored the warning and it was fine?
In my experience with dreams, it's something that it's very hard to explain. It's we have a very limited knowledge about our surrounding. We can see in three dimension. We can see just part of the, the range of light that exists.
But
and
the
we
dream,
can hear.
So you believe that the dreams are higher order waves striking your subconscious mind?
Definitely. But on the other hand, we cannot ignore the subject that if you, Dr. Jalis, you live in a desert and another person lives somewhere else, your dreams is going to be within your past knowledge, pre-existing knowledge, while the other person has.
So, Yogi John, as a woodman, a woodcutter, did you find particularly that your dreams are wood-like or resemble the forest of your experience?
In fact, yes. And I can return and answer your previous question with regards to this. So, just the other day I had this dream, this premonition, what I thought of as a warning from the gods. In this dream, it was very scary. I woke up in fear.
And do you remember any of the details of the dream?
Yes. So there was a tree. Of course, I'm in the forest all day. I dream of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And this tree was a very, very evil tree. It had bent and almost over to the side. And it had a face on it, a very mean face. And in its hand, its hand, it was actually a twig, but I imagined it was a hand, and it was holding a shovel. And it was threatening me. And it told me, don't come any closer. Move your machines away, or I will hit you.
And so in your dreams, you had machines for striking the tree for...
I had an army.
An army of tree dissectors.
No. It was...
An army.
My whole country comes to the rescue of the tree cutters. When the trees threaten us, we come in force.
And so often you find in your dreams or in reality that you are threatened by the trees.
It's a difficult struggle that we play in fighting between the fears of our dreams and the desire to make progress in our everyday life.
So, also an unusual phenomenon regarding dreams, I find that when I am meditating, that I have visions which may be called dreams, which is certainly also an unusual experience. But I find that when my meditation is particularly well focused, that it happens that I have a difficulty distinguishing between reality and these visions. It sort of blurs. You know, I recall many weeks ago on this show, I spoke of a vision that I had of a portly German gentleman in an Amsterdam public house who ordered sausages and beer and later refused to pay, arguing that the sausages were cold and the beer was warm, which was not to his liking. And in my vision, witnessed the same gentleman being forced to pay at the end of a policeman's nightstick.
And this came true?
Well, I'm not sure, but I believe that was occurring simultaneously, you know, in the time that I was witnessing this.
You must teach me your meditation.
Well, it's ironically, I find that the most meditative repose lies under large ancient trees.
So I'm ruining my chances at doing meditation.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, perhaps it's, you know, in the soil where the tree was, or I'm not sure. It may be the spirit of the tree once released intensifies the meditative focus. But since I know very little about treeology, I am unable to ascertain the positions of tree souls.
Now tell me, going back to your dream, do you remember anything about the actual location? So you told us it's in Amsterdam, but did you remember the actual bar?
I don't remember walking into it, but I do remember one of the patrons mentioning a canal nearby. I'm not sure that I could. I've never actually traveled to Amsterdam, so I'm not sure that I could locate them.
Now, how many weeks ago was this?
This must have been, 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Oh, because that could have been me, actually. Six or seven weeks ago, I was in Amsterdam, and I got very upset about this sausage and beer. And
this is interesting. Were you wearing a hat?
No, I was wearing actually a fake wig.
A wig? Because I did not recall your particularly unusual shade of hair, but it's true, I never saw the gentleman's face, and he was rather portly, just as you are.
I had to hide my hair since the trees laugh at me.
Mm-mm. And so how long has it been since you were in the Schwarzwald?
Well, after the beer was so disappointingly cold,
or
warm, that is, yes. I
understand this is the temperature that people do not like with beer.
Correct. I immediately ran back to my work, because when the dream life no longer satisfies, we return to work.
So you were not actually in Amsterdam. You were only there in as an avatar.
Oh, that's the thing. We will never know. It's the waking life. You don't know whether the dream was actually happening or whether I was only dreaming it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. For me, since I spend most of my time in the kitchen.
In the chicken.
In the chicken or the kitchen. Sometimes one of those two. I always dream about the whatever shortage I have in the kitchen. So
you dream about your shortage?
My shortage.
So, for example, if you have very little milk.
I dream that I have a cow in the house.
And
I milk the cow. And it's never-ending story. The milk filling everything in the house. And I cannot have a place for the milk. And I wake up like, looking in the fridge and there is no milk. So.
Wait, do you wake up standing in front of the fridge? You're walking in your sleep?
I wake up in the morning. Looking for the cow or the milk, or thinking that I need to clean the house from the milk that come.
Now, have you actually ever found your house completely white when you woke up?
Yeah, definitely. The house is clean, and I feel that I'm relieved that the house is very clean.
I was asking about white from the milk.
Yes.
You've seen that as well?
Yeah. But I can't find the milk in the fridge. I don't have a milk. So this is a signal of my brain try to organize the shortage in my kitchen.
Now, have you ever tried to control your ninth child and ask him or her to dream of milk, for example, and to have it appear?
I never did that. That's a very interesting question.
So you are saying that the actual thing from your dream emerged in your kitchen?
My dreams always connected to my kitchen. So if I have a shortage in particular substance or food, I see that particular drink or food. I see a lot of them that I cannot control the amount in my dream. And I wake up, look, and I don't have this. I have to go and buy this particular.
I think this previous comment of mine raises an interesting question. How much can we control other people's dreams? Doctor, do you have any
Oh, I see. Well, I have certainly felt other people's, spiritual pulse in my meditation particularly.
No, but I'm asking not about feeling, but
about an actual impartation. I have never attempted to impart a dream upon another meditator, nor have I, been aware that a vision was imparted by someone's particularly strong spiritual pulse, but I regard it certainly as a possibility. Have you ever, either of you have ever encountered this phenomenon, ever tried to impart,
Well, as a mother, I used to tell my children stories, bedtime stories. And I inherited a collection of very, very scary stories. And I used to tell it to the kids. And you can't see the effect, but you cannot draw a conclusion on all the kids. that all of them will get affected. Some of them get really scared and wake up at night screaming from the dream that they have, from the stories that I tell them. And other sound, they enjoy the stories, and then they have no problem.
So you've been using stories as a medium for affecting dreams. I've been working on a completely different medium, a potion. Yes. I've been working for 20 years on a potion, the magic potion, which will affect people's dreams.
So an actual, like, tangible medium.
Yes, yes.
To meditative.
I could actually use the help of our distinguished guests to figure out the remaining ingredients. So far, I've worked out what 3 of the critical ingredients should be, but it hasn't yet been perfected.
And so, if I may hazard, the sort of success that you have experienced is in imparting a particular color or smell in a dream without an actual story.
That's right, actually. So I found that using eggplant was extremely successful in elucidating purple dreams. Now, I haven't had as much success with other colors as I have with purple. I think there might be something very particular about purple, which has led to
success. What do you do? I mean, like you give them eggplant to eat?
No. I use it as an ingredient in the potion. So the other ingredients are garlic. So it's 1 part garlic and 2 parts shampoo. And the remaining part is whatever color I want to impart. So I've had success, as I said, with purple.
And what other colors have you experimented with?
So I've tried white, and I figured for white I just shouldn't add anything, right? Add every single color, actually. I've tried both. I've tried adding nothing, and I tried giving someone a glass with a potion, which just didn't exist, so sort of an empty glass, and that was unsuccessful.
It was unable to impart non-color?
It was successful at imparting non-color, but it was unsuccessful in having
a particular color.
Yeah, well, I was going for white, and that did not succeed. That did not work.
Well, this is also an interesting issue. So, I understand that M&Ms are, all the various colors of the M&Ms, they are due to various coloring agents. It's not natural that the M&M simply comes out of the M&M machine, you know.
There's a machine.
There is a construction process of the M&M.
I was told it was made in my forest.
In the forest?
Yes.
Oh, this is...
I thought this was the premise of my job. I've been told to destroy M&Ms, that the trees are producing M&Ms. And so my goal has been to cut down the trees.
In order to halt or to facilitate the production?
To halt the production of the M&Ms, because I don't want it to be distributed. I want to keep the ingredients all for myself.
It's possible, of course, that the M&M construction occurs largely in the forest. But my understanding is that at least the colored candy shell of the M&M is produced large manufacturing, and that all of the various colors are due to various coloring agents, which are very potent. It appears we have a caller on the line. Perhaps he is an M&M specialist. Hello, caller.
Oh, hey guys, this is Ben.
Oh, hello, Ben.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're well.
I'm enjoying the discussion about dreams today.
Thank you. Ben, are there any dreams that you can share with us? Or perhaps is there any insight that you have as to our visions?
Well, I used to have a problem with controlling my anger. Then I started listening to this program, and it was a big, big, big time help. And I guess while I've become more spiritual and composed in the conscious life, new age aware, if you will. My dreams are kind of an issue. Can I tell you about one of my latest dreams?
Do, please.
Well, in this dream, it's pretty, I guess, in life, I'm peaceful now, but in my dreams, they're just filled with rage, and I can't understand it. The kind of reoccurring one, I'll be a passenger in a car, and it's my friend Mort, and he drives me around in his hybrid, which...
You have very modern dreams.
Exactly. But he drives me around, and I've got a golf club.
Mm-hmm.
And he lets me drive around. He drives me around, and I just smash people's boxes. And my son, he sits in the back seat, and he laughs at me. And in the dream, my son actually has a tail, and he's got a... bat wings for ears, and I don't know, I just don't know what, I mean, I wake up and I feel fine, but it just doesn't seem normal.
And so you experience extreme rage in the dream to the point that you are destroying male receptacles. And
yeah.
And you...
And I've never had an issue with our nation's postal workers.
Or the institution of mail.
No,
but
it's a good institution as far as I'm concerned.
I concur, but and your child, do you feel that he is laughing at you or with you or, you know, in jest or in mirth?
Sometimes he laughs with, but most of the time he's laughing at. And, you know, we used to kind of have it out, you know, but now that, you know, he's gotten older, he's like 7 now, so.
And so now,
you know, he's kind of grown up.
And he's able to appreciate the purpose.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I believe that this is possibly a vision into the past that you are having here. That your child in this form represents a prior existence that you may have had of heightened awareness, hence the large ears, and of heightened, agility with the tail, and that perhaps you were witnessing a role model or a relative who himself had some sort of issue with the with the postal institution, and the hybrid car may be a placeholder for what was then a modern form of transport.
I see.
Perhaps a stagecoach. It's hard to tell, hard to determine.
Definitely makes sense.
But, you know, the truth to this kind of vision, I believe, can be achieved in by periods of deep meditation.
All right, well, I'll get to work on... Hey, can you put Arthur on?
Unfortunately, Arthur is now in Transylvania.
Oh, you're jerking my chain.
No, it's true. It's true. He is traveling, but we are hoping he will rejoin us someday.
Well, I hope, because he was the rock.
No, I absolutely
that I tied my little lifeboat to.
No, I am absolutely with you. The institution of the Rainbow Beam will live on.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you for your guidance, and I will not take up any more time.
No,
but,
thank you for your call and your contribution to our spiritual journey.
Namaste.
Namaste. Masrama.
That's interesting. And I think the anger, I mean, we have to learn how to control our anger. And a smile in the face of other, even if they show a position of make you like upset or will reduce your anger and reduce their effect.
It's a form of also concentrated meditation.
Definitely.
A smile, simply a smile. Well, there was one other dream question that I wish to raise while we were here. And that is the issue of nested dreams. So I have had recently a round of visions where I would, you know, I would dream that I was sleeping and dreaming. I would wake up from one dream but remain sleeping. And, you know, this dream that you were mentioning before, Dua, about the, you know, dreaming of the milk and finding the milk, particularly reminded me of these dreams, because I would find, for example, that I would be dreaming of finding, you know, a large gemstone, you know, of glorious white and the facets and the reflection. And I would take joy and comfort in the gem. And then, of course, I would wake up and be, you know, filled with a profound sense of loss because I no longer possess this beautiful gem. But then I would find the gem there. But then I would wake up again and find the gem gone.
Maybe that's show a need for more sleep. Your body is telling you.
So this is actually interesting because I actually believe that this may be a window into the future. This is telling me that at some point I will be dreaming of some valuable thing and then find it there with me.
Yeah, hopefully it will become true. But I think your body is telling you you need to rest more. You cannot.
Let me raise a very important question. How many children do you have, doctor?
Well, no legitimate children that I am aware of.
This could be part of your problem. Hmm. So what I've been learning from this last hour of discussion is that 9 is an important, it's the lucky number.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you, maybe this repeating dream is telling you that in order to have success with your goals, the one true goal of your life, which apparently is to find this gemstone, you must have 9 children so that the 9th child can dream your dream and achieve it.
I see. So that, in other words, the 9th child is the embodiment of our dreams. This is an interesting theory. And also one that speaks to the, you know, feeling that many have nowadays that our dreams are not being fulfilled. This may have something to do with it. Well, we have yet another call, so let's see if we can expand our wavelength. Marhaban, you are on the air.
Gemstones come and gemstones go. What you gonna do about it? That's what I like to know.
Welcome back, caller number 1, and welcome away.
Still, I mean, the issue of dream is a very interesting subject, and it's I think scientists will continue investigating and working on this issue
for many years
to come.
I have at least another 20 years of work on my potion
before it will achieve full control.
Yes, control is the end goal.
Well, we have a few minutes left here on Musics. for the humans. Our topic today was dreams. We were discussing dreams. And we'd like to thank our... our guests and our callers today.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Jalis.
Well, thank you, Yogi John and Dua. This is Dr. Jalis Sakran with Music for the Human. This is WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1 FM, leftmost on your FM dial.
Points for safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three,
cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four,
cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
FM, the first on your FM dial. I am Josh, here with you now, here with Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Proving to you it's not that hard to find good music if you know where to look. We play bands you've heard and some you haven't, but all songs you haven't heard, at least on Radio Rock. So we're going to get you going now with a little...